From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Kara Thomas.
And I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we're following this week. Saying that the demonstration rain garden project on the courthouse lawn was put in with no consideration of the hallowed ground of the Veterans Memorial, Don Wilson asked the county board to restore the site to its original condition. Though commander of the American Legion post, Wilson appeared on his own behalf at Tuesday's meeting. The rain garden is situated to collect rain runoff from the courthouse parking lot. The finished project is larger than originally conceived and abuts the Veterans Memorial flag site. The soil and water project was meant to be one of two demonstration gardens. It was approved in May of last year and construction was completed in September. Since then, grass has failed to grow on the garden edging, weeds have taken over, and plantings have not been made. The county's soil and water conservation technician, Tristan Beester, told the board he saw three alternatives to mitigate the project. He said one would be to soften the design edge with plantings, such as shrubs, or to resize and reshape the design to accommodate the memorial. He also said there was a third option.
The last alternative would be to remove the garden completely. That would have consequences, however. 150% of the cost share money that was used to build it would have to be returned to the state.
Beester said that figure would run the county about $17,000, not counting any restoration costs. The issue of which would be the greater cost, redoing or undoing the garden, then dominated much of the remaining discussion. Board Chair Fritz Sabanya was also concerned about the cost of yearly upkeep.
I think we could probably have it restored for less than a couple thousand bucks. And I have a cap in front end order. I'll come down here and do it. I'll scoop it up and fill the hole back up and level it back out. Somebody got a dump truck.
Commissioner Jim Johnson expressed a common concern among the commissioners.
The intent was as a demonstration so that people like come to soil and water could go down and look at how a rain garden was built and use it for their own property. That said, I'm just as disappointed as everybody else in how this thing played out and how it's playing out in the community. The buck stops with the county board.
Commissioner Bob Fenwick suggested considering ways to compromise on the project by having county staff meet with other interested parties to see if there was any way to go forward with a modified project. If not, he said he was fine with eliminating it, but only if the board had the necessary information to make that decision. Wilson said, in his opinion, there was only one solution.
Bottom line, I think it's time to cut and run. Undo it, and whatever it costs is what it's going to cost. Because if you put any more construction into it or modification, like Fritz says, it's going to cost money to maintain it and do whatever. So I would say redo it, make it a nice lawn like it was, and be done with it.
The board will discuss the project and make a final decision at their June 22nd meeting.
The Minnesota Historical Society has awarded a Minnesota Historical and Cultural Heritage Grant of $25,000 to the Gunflint Trail Historical Society for its new Chickwack Museum and Nature Center. Chickwack preserves the history of the people of the Gunflint Trail. The museum will be open daily beginning July 5th through October 17th and in coming years from Memorial Day weekend through mid-October. Minnesota Historical and Cultural Heritage Grants are made possible by the Minnesota Legislature from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund created with the Clean Water, Land, and Legacy Amendment to the Minnesota Constitution in November 2008. The grants are awarded to support projects of enduring value for the cause of history and historic preservation across the state.
At Tuesday's county board meeting, commissioners discussed the status of three projects slated to use a portion of the 1% sales tax voted on back in November of 2009. The tax has been collected by the state's Department of Revenue since April. Commissioner Bob Fenwick said a steering committee is in place for the new community center project. The committee will meet this week. Commissioner Bruce Martinson showed off plans for a recreation project at Birch Grove Center. He said originally West End planners had wanted to use 1% funds for an expanded parking lot. However, they have found alternative funding and are looking to use sales tax dollars to help cover the cost of tennis courts and a hockey rink. Board Chair Fritz Sabanya, who sits on the library board, told fellow commissioners the group is closing in on a 1% proposal. They're looking for additional funding for a project currently priced at $700,000. Commissioners will fine-tune a bonding application form for 1% project backers to fill out. The form will help commissioners determine how and under what circumstances bonding for projects would be appropriate.
The Flute Reed River Partnership, a nonprofit citizens action group working to improve water quality in and around the Flute Reed River in Hovland, learned last week that a grant proposal to the EPA, totaling more than $500,000, has made it to the final grant round. The grant was submitted by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, working in cooperation with local government agencies and the Flute Reed River Partnership.
The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has been one of many partners that the Flute Reed River Partnership has worked with to do various projects in the Flute Reed River watershed for the last several years.
That's Chell Anderson, a Hovland resident and a member of the Flute Reed River Partnership. She says the MPCA approached the local organization about the EPA grant. The Flute Reed River Partnership, founded in 2006, monitors water quality on the river and has held a number of educational workshops to promote greater understanding of the relationship between land use and water quality.
The main problems that have been identified by fisheries managers have to do with changes in the water quality related to sediment, and the Flute Reed is a really important trout stream. It has a fairly long reach that's available to trout, and so, you know, there's a lot of interest in seeing some improvement to the water quality, and sediments have been the principal issue that's been identified related to water quality.
The Flute Reed River watershed encompasses more than 10,000 acres and was identified in the Lake Superior Basin Plan as vulnerable, due in part to the high percentage of private land within the watershed and the potential for development. Analysis of water quality data compiled by the Flute Reed River Partnership indicates that the Flute Reed exceeds state turbidity standards, and the river is listed on the MPCA's draft 2010 Register of Impaired Minnesota Waters. Ann Moore is Public Information Officer with the MPCA.
This project was one of three grant applications we made to the United States Environmental Protection Agency that was selected to be a finalist in the next grant round. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency staff will be submitting the final grant application within weeks, and the EPA will be making a final decision also within weeks of receiving that grant application. The proposal that we had made originally would be something we would continue to go forward with, and that would be to help restore an old bridge site on the North Road Bridge and then work on some culverts that are either undersized or damaged. And these activities, in addition to stabilizing the banks, would then help create this better condition for the Flute Reed.
The federal government has made restoring the Great Lakes a national priority, and the 2010 budget provides $475 million in Great Lakes Restoration Initiative funding. The EPA received more than 1,000 applications for funding, and the Flute Reed River grant is one of only 270 to make it to the final round. EPA expects to award grants in the coming months so that work on projects may begin this summer.
Superior National Golf Course is not competitive with other links in the region, and we need to support it financially. That, according to City Council member Jan Sievertson.
Can you afford not to? That's the question we're really asking. Can we afford not to? Because if our economy is 60% tourism-based, and we let one of our major assets disintegrate.
There are three basic reasons why the golf course is in trouble, according to Sievertson: a declining number of rounds played, insufficient marketing, and a lack of capital improvements, all related to money. Sievertson is the city's representative on the Economic Development Authority and reported at the council's Wednesday work session on a new private public plan for Superior National. A group of West End businessmen and the golf course subcommittee are supporting a nonprofit public-private entity to manage and market the golf course in association with the Cook County Events and Visitors Bureau. According to golf course subcommittee member Mark Sanbo, the $25,000 per year marketing budget should be closer to $100,000. While golf rounds played nationally is a flat figure, the figures for Superior National are at their lowest. In 2001, rounds played at Superior National were 22,054. Last year, that number bottomed out at 14,757. Sanbo blames the poor economy, lack of marketing, and the inability to spend money on infrastructure upgrades. In an interview, Mayor Sue Hakes summed up the Superior National situation this way.
They're very concerned that the Superior National is losing money, that, and they believe the cause of that is deferred capital improvements and lack of marketing. So what they're proposing is a restructuring of the management to potentially have it leased out on a long-term basis to a to-be-formed nonprofit, and also they need money.
For WTIP News, I'm Jay Anderson.
And I'm Kara Thomas.